Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. So glad to be coming to you once again right here on WMAF. If you're driving down that interstate, don't touch that dial. We have some good things to share with you from God's eternal word today. And if you were in a busy afternoon there in Madison, why don't you fix you a cold glass of iced tea or iced coffee or hot coffee or a Pepsi, whatever you would like, and just take a break if you possibly can, and eat some soul food. Praise God. Amen. Get something down in your spirit that is going to outlast this world. You know, the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So it is more permanent than the very world as we know it today. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but there's not going to be a new Bible. Amen. This word will endure forever and forever. Praise God. Well, we just would like to thank you once again for tuning into this broadcast and allowing us to be part of your devotional life, your spiritual development. If you don't know the Lord, would you please stay tuned? Maybe you will get a glimpse today, or maybe a full-blown revelation of exactly why that we Christians have become Christian and why we're so excited about our faith. And if you know some Christians who aren't all that excited about their faith, I want you to know that is not the norm. That is not what God has called us to. This is a glorious gospel. This is a message of love like the world has never known. And I want you to know today that God loves you according to the word of God and according to the fact of the cross and what Jesus did to obtain salvation for us. This represents a love, friend, that there is none greater. Praise God. So please stay tuned to this broadcast. If you would like to know more about our ministry, myself, I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. Since 1974, we have been in good standing with the Independent Assemblies of God International out of San Diego, California, and I have been pastor of this present church for 36 years in January. Praise God. God has been good to us in Tampa. And we have our website if you would like to come. There's a statement of faith. There are testimonies. There are sermons free to be downloaded at your own personal preference. There are past editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. If you would like to download one of the former broadcasts, it's there available for you. We'd just love to have you come as our guest. No strings attached whatsoever. You don't get on a mailing list. No one gets your email address. Nothing happens there except you can find out more about the background of this ministry, and you can download the Word of God there. It is preached in power. Praise God. Amen. So we welcome you today to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Now, let me give you our website very quickly. Just type in Pastor Robert Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, or T-H-C-O-G, just those letters on Google, one of the best search engines. It will take you to our homepage. On that first page coming up, you will find very quickly the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida. It'll say, "Welcome to the Holy Church of God." And we do indeed welcome you today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. We're going to talk about the cup of blessing, the glorious privilege of the heirs of salvation. If you're a Christian today, we want you to know, again, to review who you are and what you have in Jesus Christ. I know we're going to heaven when we die. That issue is the supreme issue of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, and even after we get to heaven, I want you to know there's more to this thing than just going to heaven. There is a relationship that is filled with privilege and power. It is a glorious standing in Jesus that you and I possess as our inheritance. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus today, please stay tuned. I pray that you will not put off something so wonderful as coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm telling you, the Christian life to me is the only life, but not only the only life to live, it's the best possible life you can live. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's not something just for the body alone. This goes deeper than just gratifying your flesh. This goes deeper than that. It's righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if that sounds like a religious box where you don't have any fun and you don't have any fulfillment, then you're just not reading the right message from the Bible. Praise God. Amen. This is way better than fun, friend. This is called joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's what we're going to talk about, is that glorious privilege of the heirs of salvation. And it involves us something we do called Holy Communion, to remember Jesus on the cross, to commemorate His death in our behalf. And listen to what this says. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for all are partakers of that one bread." I love that. Praise the Lord. The New International calls the cup of blessing the cup of thanksgiving. It's something we do to express gratitude for all that God has done for us and in us because of Jesus at the cross. Praise God. It is a glorious blessing and privilege to know Jesus as your personal Savior. One scholar calls the cup of blessing a sharing in the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say that again, a sharing in the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to read that from the Amplified New Testament. "The cup of blessing, of wine at the Lord's table, upon which we ask God's blessing, does it not mean that in drinking it we participate in and share a fellowship, a communion in the blood of Christ the Messiah? The bread which we break, does it not mean that in the eating of it we participate and share in a fellowship, a communion in the body of Christ? For we, no matter how numerous we are one body, because we are all partakers of the one bread, the one whom the communion bread represents." Praise the Lord. One thing I want to bring out of this teaching today is that we share the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ equally. Equally. Listen to me very carefully. Verse 17, "For we being many are one bread." You can't bring your own cup to Holy Communion. Spiritually speaking, we all share the same cup. You know, I'm intrigued by nostalgic things. You know, there's still some restaurants in small towns where they have cups hanging on the wall because they're people who come in every day at the same time for that cup of coffee, that cup of Joe, their coffee cup with their name is hanging on the wall, and they pull their coffee cup off the wall and hand it to him. If the mayor comes in, his cup is waiting for him. If the garbage collector comes in, by the way, garbage collectors make pretty good, so this is not the end of the spectrum. If the janitor comes in, and his cup is up there. But when we come to Holy Communion, our cup, we don't bring our cup. We use the little plastic cups for sanitation reasons in these days. Times have changed. It may not be good for everybody in the room in the flu season to drink out of the same cup. But listen, figuratively, spiritually speaking, we are on a common ground at the foot of the cross. We all become part of the body of Christ equally, and we partake of His blessings equally. We share the benefits of the blood of Christ equally. You can't bring your own cup to Holy Communion. Spiritually speaking, we share the same cup because we have all, each and every one of us, been baptized into the same body. We have become one in Jesus Christ, one bread. Therefore, we are one with one another. You know, the cross, friend, is the great equalizer. And at the foot of the cross, we all stand on a common ground where the least of us has the same spiritual standing as the greatest of us. Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God, and everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. You know, I made a statement at one of our communion services that our president could come and stand in with us in communion, and we could stand side by side, and one of our congregation could stand by the President of the United States, the leader of our nation, and a little member of our congregation could stand there. And when God looked on those that were standing, He wouldn't see a housewife and a president of a great nation. He would simply see, if they are both saved, a son and a daughter. That's all He would see. Praise God, at the foot of the cross, we become one. Praise the Lord. Let me read about this from Galatians 3:26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. You know, America is a potpourri of cultures and races, but our common ground is that we are all Americans, one nation, under God, indivisible. Our founding fathers envisioned all our coins bear the same inscription, E pluribus unum, which in the Latin is of many one, of many one. The true church is made up of sinners who have been repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We stand together as one great body of many, one, E pluribus unum. The communion cup is the same for us all. We all remember our Lord's suffering and sacrifice. We should have a sense of connection with the true Christian church around the world. This is bigger than just a denomination or a church role. This is a community of believers that have trusted in Christ as their personal Savior. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, the redeemed are singing and extolling the Lamb. Listen to this. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. Every Christian is bought with a price, and the price is nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, to redeem in the Scripture means to set free by paying a ransom. Man, all of us are alienated from God by sin. And God is alienated from man by wrath, wrote David Wells. It is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ that sin is overcome and wrath is averted, so that God can look on man without displeasure and man can look on God without fear. Sin is expiated and God is propitiated. John R.W. Stott picks up on that quote and makes the following observation about the redemption of sinners. Listen, propitiation focuses on the wrath of God which was placated by the cross. Redemption on the plight of sinners. from which they were ransomed by the cross. And ransom, friend, is the correct word to use. It refers to a process involving the release by payment of a ransom price. Often very closely, wrote Leon Norris, we have liberty to dilute its meaning into a vague and even cheap deliverance. We have been ransomed by Christ, not merely redeemed or delivered by Him. Jesus paid our ransom. In the Old Testament, property, animals, and the nation were all redeemed by the payment of a price. In all these cases of redemption, there was a decisive and costly intervention. Somebody paid the price necessary to free property from mortgage, animals from slaughter, and persons from slavery and even death. When we stand together at the communion table, as we do, as often as you do this, remembering the price, the ransom that Jesus paid for you and for me. Our self-worth is not based on egotism or self-exaltation, nor on our accomplishments or abilities or how others see us, but rather the length God was willing to go to save us. It was the price paid for us that gives us such value. I don't know who you are in your life. I don't know how many accomplishments you have or do not have. I don't know if you are someone great or someone very small, but I know if you're a Christian how God views you. God looks at you at the foot of the cross, common ground with everyone else. He sees a son and He sees a daughter that has been ransomed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes you rich today. I don't know what your bank account is. I know what mine is. Sometimes it's scary. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got one of those meal barrels that's never been full, but it so far has never went empty because God has blessed us. But I'm telling you today, and in many circles, there is no way that I would be considered a rich man. But I consider myself a rich man because I have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was pretty good at sports growing up, in football in junior high school. I got in high school and I didn't grow as quick as the other guys. I was small stature, and that was about the end of my football career. It's hard to be a defensive guard when you're 122 pounds. Hallelujah. I could do that now if I was young enough. I've got enough weight to play the position. But I'm telling you something, friend. Amen. I don't have to be a sports star to be rich, to feel a sense of value, because whatever I was in life, none of this mattered to God. What mattered to God was I was lost, and He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me on the cross. And that gives me value today. Whether I'll be remembered as a great preacher or the pastor of a little church, that's not the issue. What makes me, gives me a sense of self-worth today is that Jesus Christ died for me. Praise God. And the Bible said He's made us kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. He's elevated us from those that deserve His wrath to those that He honors in heaven. Praise the Lord. What a transition for all of us that is made through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no single scriptural idea from Genesis to Revelation more constantly and prominently kept in view than that expressed in the words, "the blood," writes Andrew Murray. There can be no approach to God, no fellowship with Him by faith, no enjoyment of His favor apart from the blood. That's why we use the term in many circles, "I plead the blood of Jesus Christ." It means I stand on the finished work of Christ at the cross, not on my merit, not on what others think of me, how others judge me or value me, but I stand on the merits of the finished work of Jesus Christ through His blood on the cross. By the institution of the Passover, as an enduring ordinance with the words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," the people were taught that life can be obtained only by the death of a substitute. Life was possible for them only through the blood of the life given in their place and appropriated by the sprinkling of that blood. It was in that blood by the covenant that it had its foundation and power. It is by blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship. Without blood, there could be no access by sinful man to a holy God. On Moriah, the life was redeemed by the shedding of the blood. In Egypt, it was sprinkled on the doorpost of the houses. But at Sinai, it was sprinkled on the persons themselves. The contact was closer, the application more powerful. In the new covenant, we spiritually partake of His blood shed for us and His body broken for us. We have an equal standing, an equal worth, because we have been given the same gift. Praise the Lord. I love this story from our Daily Bread devotional. Columnist L.M. Boyd recently described the amazing good fortune of a man named Jack Wurm, W-U-R-M. In 1949, Mr. Wurm was broke and out of a job. One day he was walking along a San Francisco beach when he came across a bottle with a piece of paper in it. As he read the note, he discovered it was the last will and testament of Daisy Singer Alexander, heir to the Singer sewing machine fortune. This is what the note said: "To avoid confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle, and to my attorney, Barry Cohen, share and share alike." According to Boyd, the courts accepted the theory that the heiress had written the note 12 years earlier, had thrown the bottle into the Thames River in London, from where it had drifted across the oceans to the feet of a penniless and jobless Jack Wurm. His chance discovery netted him over $6 million in cash and Singer stock. How would you like to have been making Mr. Worm's footprints on that San Francisco beach? What a find! Now let's compare Jack Wurm's inheritance with yours if you're trusting Christ as your Savior. You've become an heir with Christ. Your eternal future is secure. Think about what you possess today. Think about what it will mean to you 100 years from now. Think about what it will mean to you 1,000 years from now. For all, friend, don't even stop there. Think about what that means 1,000,000 years. Keep on going 1,000,000,000 years. Keep on going 1,000,000,000,000 years. And when we can find no more descriptive numbers to describe eternity, it will be just beginning. Try to imagine the eternal life, the eternal happiness, the eternal gratitude, the eternal peace, the eternal profit. So many people are dealing today in so many Christian circles with the temporal. And we need our temporal needs met. And the Bible said the Father knows what we have need of in that area, and He's happy to take care of us. But what God has given us in Christ is far more than addressing our immediate temporal material needs. This goes into eternity. We have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. $6 million doesn't even begin to compare with our spiritual inheritance. The Scripture declares that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And listen, we show gratitude for the cross every time that we come and remember what He did on it. We show our gratitude for the cross. Everything a sinning man needs, he finds at the cross, preached G. Campbell Morgan. To the intellectual Greeks, it was foolishness, something without meaning. And to the Hebrews, it was a stumbling block, a scandalon, something that interferes with progress rather than helps it. The tragedy of that is much of the same attitude in our day. But for those who believe, it is salvation. Morgan reminds us, listen to this, every day I need the cross more. Every day I live this Christian life, I am more and more conscious that I cannot understand the mystery of all that Jesus did, yet more and more conscious that by the way of that cross, and that cross alone, my wounded heart is healed. My withered soul is renewed. My deformed spirit is built up. My broken manhood is remade. And every day I live, I sing in my heart with new meaning. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood which from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. We, friend, as Christians, are the children of God, His very sons and daughters. We have been ransomed, bought with a price. We therefore glory in the cross, and we proclaim the cup of blessing that we drink. Hallelujah. Praise God. We proclaim that our righteousness is solely dependent on the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. I don't know today if you are a Christian and you feel unworthy so many times all the blessings that are enumerated in the new covenant. You may be one of those Christians that have been forgiven, but you receive God's forgiveness, but you're having a real struggle forgiving yourself. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. You know what God wants you to do, friend? He wants you to take the cup of blessing with a grateful heart. Did you know not one person that ever comes forward to receive Holy Communion is worthy of that blood that was shed? No one could stand there in sinless perfection. We don't stand there as sinners either. We stand there as the saints of God washed in the blood of Jesus. Does that mean that we don't have occasion to repent from time to time? No, it does not. Does it mean that every time we do, we apply the blood of Jesus to our life? Yes, it does. And if we would judge ourselves, come before God with true repentant hearts, God will cleanse us. That blood will be applied anew and afresh to our life. Praise God. Ah, friend, today you have worth. You have value to God because of the blood that was shed, the price that was paid to ransom you. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I know that He is calling you through this gospel. Jesus died to save you, not to condemn you, not to damn your soul, but to save you, to ransom you. He loved you enough while you were yet in your sins to give His Son on the cross to redeem you. Friend, that's love like this world has never and will never know. For greater love than this hath no man, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Ah, friend, today would you take the cup of salvation? And then from this day forward, let it become the cup of blessing to you. Would you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now? Would you not let what He did in His suffering for you at the cross be in vain? Would you be lost in spite of all that God could do and Jesus did to redeem you? Or would this be the day that your sins are forgiven, that your name is written down in heaven, that you are one of that great company, wherever you are, anywhere in the world, anywhere in America? Would you accept Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sins? Would you allow Him to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Become part of that great company out of every kindred, tongue, and nation that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, our time is almost gone. We are so happy to bring you good news in such a troubled time. You can know Christ as your Savior, God as your Father. You can rest in the full assurance that no matter what happens, As David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.